Praise God. Well, age is a matter of mind. If you don't mind, it don't matter. That's the way I look at it. I tell you what, I thank God for our friendship. And I don't believe that we are here by accident. I really don't. And I thank God that God has connected us with certain people in this day and time, as what the Bible says, for such a time as this. And so it is exciting just to be a part of the kingdom of God. And, you know, to think that, you know, I've been doing this 42 years, that just blows me away. And I'm honored by that God has allowed me the privilege of traveling somewhere in the neighborhood of over 4 million miles in 42 years and 39 countries. And then that I got the greatest wife in the world that wants to go with me. You know, that's pretty awesome. You know, and I thank God that Angie is with me, and we have a lot of fun. Praise God. See, I believe Christian people are and should be the happiest people in the world. We have a lot of fun. Now, I'm a little depressed tonight. I just want y'all to remember me in prayer. I went to sleep today, took a little nap, and woke up, and I've been praying for the Falcons, and I went to sleep, and I felt Jesus said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And woke up and they lost in overtime. And I feel totally responsible. I've got to contact the coach and tell him that I'm sorry I let down the guard on that. But amen. But it's good to be around people like football too. Because I texted a good friend of mine last night. He went to Nebraska and of course they won yesterday. And I told him I love football, but I love Jesus more. You know, really do. And so it's just a joy for us to be here and share with you the Word of God. I've got a word to give you tonight. It's not going to be long or anything like that, but I want to share some things with you from the Word of God. And Pastor Terry, love you, brother. Appreciate you very much. And where's Ben at? I didn't see Ben. Where's he at? There he is, back in the back. Your dad was telling me some of the stories that took place with you in Egypt and all that. And you're here by the grace of God, young man. God protected you and gave you favor from what I hear about. Got a great testimony. That's a great testimony. Praise God. I want you to turn your Bibles and look with me to the book of St. Luke, the 5th chapter. The book of St. Luke, the 5th chapter. And thank you for giving to our ministry. I never take for granted. I'm humbled by this, that after all these years that God still allows us the privilege of traveling around the world preaching the gospel, building churches, supporting pastors, and I just praise God for that. I really mean that, and I'm so honored that God brings into our life people that believe in us and believe the call of God on our life. I'm an evangelist. That's all I want to be. Somebody said, are you going to ever retire? I said, no, I'll refire. You know, I will never, ever retire. I mean, I told Angie I'd promised to give her till I was about 90. She said, she told this, and Kenny and Janice bear witness, because this, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. She said she'd let me live to 95. And then if you hear I die, don't believe it. She put a towel over my face in the middle of the night and sent me on to Jesus. But we have a lot of fun. And I tell you what, I just praise God that I got the greatest wife in the world, and I appreciate her travel. I love you, babe. You're awesome. Best friend I got in the world, and I love her very dearly. Praise God. I want you to look in Luke, the 5th chapter, and listen to what Jesus said. I want to read this from the Amplified Bible. And I want you to look in verse 36, that he told them a proverb also, no one puts a patch from a new garment on an old garment. If he does, he will both tear the new one, and the patch from the new one will not match the old garment. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the fresh wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be ruined or destroyed. But new wine, now watch this, must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, immediately desires new wine, for he says the old is good or better. I want to share something with you, because as an evangelist, trying to stay in tune with what God is doing and trying to hear the voice of God in these days in which so few people are really hearing God. And I'm not trying to look like some spiritual giant or something. I just want to be in tune to what God is doing in this day and time. And I want to listen to what he's saying, and I want to follow his direction. And so in doing this, you know, Angie and I started 32 months ago in Bakersfield, California. We went there with a church, and the church was a pretty much an old line church and literally kind of dying. And I preached on a Sunday morning. Angie and I was there and preached on a Sunday morning, and I gave an altar call just like I did this morning for people 40 and under to come down. And it was amazing how many people came down. And so, you know, we saw something there that we felt like that God wanted to do with the younger generation and then mesh it and connect it with the older generation. Because we all need each other. We all need each other. We got to have each other. The young got to have the old. The old's got to have the young. And so we just prayed, God, how would you allow us to be a part in this and meshing the generations together, and also bringing together a church that is not dead, dry, and stagnant, but alive. Because, you see, I feel like, and Nick was singing that song, you know, about us being alive. And people today are looking for churches that are alive, folks. I'm telling you the truth. They're looking for something that's alive, something that's kicking. Amen. Something that's moving forward. And the world out there, you know, when people say, well, you know, I don't believe the church can compete with the world. Baloney on that. You know, God's raising up talent today in the body of Christ that are just as good as what you're seeing on the X Factor. Amen? You know what X Factor. Don't get spiritual on me and say, oh, God, we don't want to. You do too, just like we do. Anyway, so we ask God to help us. And God has done this. But I've learned something about new wine. That God is saying, behold, I will do a new thing. You know, God is always doing things new. You look in the Bible, all through the Bible, it's always, God is always doing something new. He's always about being something new in our life, fresh. Because if we don't get the new wine, folks, then we're going to become dead, dry, and stagnant. And that's not God's intention for us. God wants a church alive, vibrant. Amen? Full of his presence. It's all about him. You know, and a church that just alive, because people are, believe me when I tell you this, people are looking for this today. They're hungry for it. Everywhere we go, I'm finding that people are starving for a church that is alive. Amen? And I'm not going to be dead. I'm not going to embrace dead. I embrace live. I believe in that Jesus Christ is alive inside of us. And I believe that we should show forth that aliveness in Christ. I believe that with all my heart. You know, and somebody say, well, you know, you're 60 years old. Yeah, but I don't feel 60. Amen. I got over 4 million miles on this body. And, I'm still in pretty good shape. I go to the gym, I work out, you know, do my hair right. You know, I look good. Only because of the grace of God and my wife. But I also know what's behind these clothes. So, you know, when I look in the mirror, my body looks like it needs ironing. But other than that, I want to stay alive in Christ. I, regardless of what my age is. See, I don't believe in getting old, folks. I don't believe in getting old, man. Ain't no way. You know, I don't care what my age is, I ain't gonna never get old. Hallelujah. I've been around some old people, and they're old. But I want to be alive in Christ. Hallelujah. And I want to embrace what God is doing. Because you see, so many times, I remember growing up and I learned so many different Pentecostal prayers. And one prayer I learned was, oh God, bless what I'm doing. Man, I'd pray that all the time. Oh God, just bless what I'm doing. Ooh, 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 Shandai Mitsubishi. You know, oh God, just bless what I'm doing. And God said to me one day, he said, no. He said, you do what I'm blessing. I went, whoa, okay. Praise God. What is God doing today? And what, and I want you to understand, God's pouring out some new wine. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you about what Jesus was talking about, as about the new wine being put into old wineskins. And I want you to see some things. And I got a few little points that I wrote down and I just thought I'd give them to you about wineskins, okay? Now, Angie and I are in Bakersfield, California, like I said, once a month. We go out there once a month. We do a leadership meeting on Friday night. We do an events day on Saturday that incorporates the whole church and getting everybody to know one another, because we're all about building relationships anyway. And I believe that Christian people should have a strong relationship with each other today, more so than ever before. And that's what we believe in. That's what we do. And then on Sunday, I preach an evangelistic service, and we do that. And we've had over 1,000 people give their heart to Jesus Christ. And, that's all God. And we watch the church just almost over double in attendance. And tithes and offerings have increased, you know, by 59%. And so God's hand is on this. And, you know, we're telling Kenny and Janice, you know, that if it works there, it'll work anywhere. It doesn't matter. It's all about building relationships anyway. Amen. Doing what God is blessing. And so, you know, but in Bakersfield, California, for you that don't know where Bakersfield is, you go over, we fly into Los Angeles, rent a car, and drive over the Grapevine Mountains, Pastor Terry. And the Grapevine Mountains. Then we come into the San Joaquin Valley. San Joaquin Valley is one of the richest valleys in the United States. Very fertile. But in the San Joaquin Valley, there's tremendous amount of vineyards, grape vineyards all over the San Joaquin Valley. And so I've learned some things about vineyards. I've learned some things about wine. I've learned some things about wineskins. So I was really excited. I went to the Napa Valley and went to a winery. My God. Oh, God, help us. The evangelist went to a winery. Yes, I did. Because I wanted to understand what Jesus was talking about. I want to know, you know, what he was talking about. And I got to talk to the man there that knew so much about wine and even knew these scriptures that I just read to you. And so I learned some things about new wine, old wine. I learned some things about old wineskins, new wineskins. I learned that, and I said, now I understand what Jesus was talking about, what he was trying to say. Number one, wineskins, watch this now, this is deep too, were made to be filled with wine. Isn't that amazing? I hope you got that, because that's really deep. Wineskins were made to be filled with wine. The purpose of wineskins is to be full of wine. And when they are not full of wine, they are not fulfilling the purpose for which they were made. See what I'm talking about? You and I are God's wineskins. And you and I were made to be full of the new wine. Hallelujah. To be filled with His Spirit. That when people look at us, they see something different. We're not like everybody else. Come on, folks, and let's just be real about that. I'm not trying to set ourselves up. I'm just telling you, we're not like everybody else. I don't act like everybody else. I'm different. Amen? You're different. Praise God, but we were made to be full of the Spirit of God, so that when people look at us, they know there's something about you. There's just, you're different. You know, I had a lady come up to me one time after service, and she said, you're strange. And I said, well, what do you expect? I'm from another world. And she looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, I'm not of this world. I'm not of this planet. I'm from another planet. And it was just strange to her that she heard me say that. And she says, I don't understand it. And I said, well, Jesus said, you're not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. You really, folks, listen, we're all ETs. Hello? You're strange, odd, unusual. Praise God, because we're fulfilling God's purpose when we're full of His Spirit, so that the world looks out there and knows, hey, there's something about you. I don't quite understand it, but there's something different about you, because that's being full of the Spirit of God. Praise God. I don't act like everybody else. I don't sing gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark, depression, excessive misery. I'm not into that. Hello? You're not going to hear gloom, despair, and agony on me. It's not going to come out of my mouth. I'm not going to sing just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. Come on, man. I'm full of the Spirit of God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Praise God. We got God living on the inside of us. I got something that the world don't have. I'm full of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And when you get full of the new wine, you know, you just act happy. See, some of you need to just get drunk. Just get smashed out of your gourd. Now, I'm not talking about Jack Daniels or Jim Beam or, you know, Michelob. I'm talking about new wine. I remember, you know, my dad was a pastor 52 years, and I remember one day I was in his office, and I found a little book, and there was a little story in the book, and I was just a little kid at that time, and I read it, and it said that there was a little mouse that got caught in the wine cabinet, and there was a little bit of wine in the shot glass there, and he went over and sipped it, you know, and he liked it, you know, and went back through his little hole there, and then liked it so much he went back and sipped it again. You went back and forth sipping the wine until finally he got smashed. And when he got so full of it, he just reared up on his little hind legs and says, "Where's that cat?" Hallelujah. I would love for us to get so full of the power and the fullness of the Spirit of God that we can say, "Where's the devil? I'm not afraid of him. I am not scared of him. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." Praise God. Wine skins were made to be filled with wine. Second thing, there's new wine calls for new wineskins. Now watch this. New wine calls for new wineskins. Now, when Jesus talked about the old wineskins here, I want you to understand what he was talking about. The old wineskin stands for religious traditions and mentalities and mindsets. And the new wine stands for God's Spirit and His activity that's moving. But the old wineskins, this ain't the way we ain't been doing this. This is new. We don't like this. See, and I want you to see that old wineskin is not made for new wine. And I asked the man in Napa Valley at the winery, I asked him about this, and I said, "Why does Jesus talk?" And the thing about it is, he knew the scriptures. That was incredible. And he said, "Old wineskins cannot embrace new wine." And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because new wine is explosive. It moves." I love that. It's it moves. Old wineskins are brittle. There's no movement, no give to old wineskins. But when you get new wine and you pour it into the old wineskin, but new wine is, it moves. And I like what he said, it's explosive. I went, "Oh yeah, that's my God, man. I like that. Boom, it's explosive. I like that." But old wineskins can't embrace new wine, because when new wine moves, old wineskin, Now you see what old wineskin, it's that he was speaking to the Pharisees of their tradition, that their tradition, they had elevated their tradition above God himself. They had a mindset, an old mentality, that this is the only way that it can happen. And God says, I'm God. I'm explosive. I move in different ways. I do. Hey, listen, folks, watch this. He's God and you're not. That means he can do whatever he wants to because he's God. Huh? In fact, Isaiah 43:18-19 says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Because I'm God and you're not. But see, so many times we almost get to the place where we think we are God. And we've made our traditions and our mindsets, and we put God in a box and say, this is the only way God can do it. And God says, I'm God. I'll do a new thing. Why does he decide to do a new thing? Because he's tired of doing the old thing. Hello? Hey, let me tell you something. Ain't nobody going to ever get to heaven and accuse God of being a boring God. Now, you can tell God you was in a boring service. But it wasn't God's fault. My God is not a boring God. He's an explosive God. He is a moving God. Hallelujah. He's an incredible God. He's an exciting God. There's no king like my king. Hallelujah. He moves. He does new things. Praise God. And we've got to find out what is he doing, because I want to be in it. Hey, the move of God. You're not going to leave without me, God. I'm going with you. Wherever you go, that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to flow with you. Praise God. And whatever you're blessing, I want to be a part of. Amen? Praise God. And that old wineskin, man, they just, no, this is the way. See, I grew up in this. You've got to understand. You're looking here, and here I am in jeans, shirt, and tennis shoes. And this is the way I preach. This is the way I love. I'm so glad if Pastor Terry said, hey, you need to wear a suit, I'd wear a suit because I'm submissive. I wouldn't like it. But I would wear a suit if that's the protocol of the house. But this is basically what Angie and I mean, we're jeans people. We belong to the tribe of Levi. And so we're jeans people. I preach in this. You know, I have a way of, you know, we're trying to reach a lot of young people today in the kingdom of God. And so, you know, I just got a way of trying to do that. Now, I grew up in the generation where everything was, man, outward appearance. My God, we ran off more people than we ever brought into the house of God. Because we thought people had to dress a certain way. Amen? We got preachers right now still believe that the anointing is in a suit. I'm telling you the truth. You know, and I'm thinking, my God, man, you're in another era. Need to get up here. You know, it is 2011. Huh? Praise God. We got a pastor friend of ours down in Panama City, and he's awesome. He was assigned to fly with President George Bush when he was president, because he just one of these incredible, gifted, intelligent. He was in the Air Force, and so they put him on Air Force One, and God spoke to his heart and called him to be a pastor. So he gave up, resigned his commission and everything like that, flying on Air Force One to pastor a church down in Panama City, Florida. And man, I'm telling you what, he started his church with nothing, and they are exploding down there, aren't they, baby? I mean, exploding down. It was just incredible, because he just got new ways of reaching people. They got a gym called the Lord's Gym, where they got these guys and girls coming in now working out in the gym, praise God. And they built a gym and people coming in. And he said, oh, I don't know about that. Well, they got now somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,000 members. And a bunch of those people that now go to that gym now go to their church. Hallelujah. I mean, he's got a scuba diving thing where they go out and scuba dive. Man, he teaches scuba diving to people, you know, and leads them to the Lord. You get them down there at 75 feet and sharks come, and he asks them, are you a Christian? And He had a great white, I don't know a great white, but another tiger shark. It was one of those big sharks, you know, sharks are sharks, you know. And so he told me this shark attacked him and everything and hit him and knocked his, you know, his air mask off and all that like that. And I said, hey, can you speak in tongues under the water? Because, you know, if you see a tiger shark coming at you, if you're Pentecostal, more than likely, tongues are going to come out. Man, I'm telling you what, we had a service one time where we had a short service where everybody come in shorts. And I'm not talking about ungodly. I'm talking about, you know, shorts. And praise God, I was telling Pastor Kenny, I preached in shorts. First time in my life I've ever preached in church in shorts. Crazy, isn't it? We had 18 people get saved. Hallelujah. See, but now in the day that I grew up in, that, boy, oh my God. See, I'm a third generation Pentecostal. I grew up in Georgia, and I'm telling you what, man, I grew up in the Congregation of Holiness and another organization there that just very, very, everything was outward appearance. Women couldn't wear makeup. You know, I didn't get to wear a short sleeve shirt till I was 14. 14 years old before I wore a short sleeve shirt. Man, I mean, you couldn't do anything that you did was fun, was a sin. I mean, I couldn't go to a ball game. I was fellowshipping with the world. You'll go to hell. I mean, man, I'm telling you what, my brother and I, we sneaked away because you could never watch television because television was a sin, man. And go to a movie, you'll go to hell for that. And we sneaked away, and I remember I was 13 years old, and we sneaked away. First movie we ever saw was Elvis Presley and G.I. Blues. We're sitting there in the cinema. I hope Jesus don't come. We'll go to hell. We're going to go through on the mark of the beast and all that. And that was raised up in that. And I mean, women couldn't wear makeup. And you're talking about ugly. My God. Scary. Women couldn't shave their legs. And dear God, man. And when they started dancing in their skirts. And the Lord mercy, I'm a little kid. And I'm seeing those legs. I'm going, Jesus. And it scared the living daylights out of you. I grew up with nightmares. And then that's when the women wear those big old high heel shoes, you know, like that with a big old, man, I mean, they were stepped on a kid to kill him deader than a hammer. Because, I mean, it's like, a weapon. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Had a lady one night after service come up to me years ago. She said, Brother David, should a woman wear makeup? And I said, depends on her face. My God. I've seen a few that, anyway, that's another message in itself. But I want you to see that old wineskin, it's that old mentality. It's a mindset that I'm not going to change. I'm going to stay this way. And what we're seeing is churches dying and dying and dying and dying. Because we won't embrace the new wine. Amen? All right, and the third thing, watch this, is wineskins were made for pouring. It's just simple stuff, isn't it? Wineskins were made for pouring. Wineskins was used as a bottle. And wineskin, of course, was some kind of goat skin or something like that. They tied together and latched together. But it was not made to preserve wine. It was made to pour wine. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Our hearts were never meant to be a storage receptacle for the Holy Spirit. They were meant to be filled with the Spirit so the Spirit of God could be poured out in us and poured everywhere we go. I mean, it just pours, it just comes out of us. Praise God. We're not meant to be a preservative as far as just keeping it within ourselves. I've got to share the message of Jesus somewhere. I'm full of His presence. I'm full of Him. I've got to tell somebody about Jesus, man. I've got to pour myself out. That's why it's not about you anymore. Every one of you here that's here, I'm sure you're born again. You're full of the presence of God, full of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's awesome. But it's not about you anymore. It's about those people out there outside the church that you need to pour yourself into. Hallelujah. Wow. I mean, it's just Angie and I are in this thing in California. It's just an exciting thing that we're just pouring ourselves into these people, building relationships, watching church people. Some of them been in the same church for years and years, didn't even know each other by name. We just said, hi, brother. Hi, sister. don't even know their name. Been in the same family, same church for 5, 6, 7 years and didn't even know each other by name. Still called each other brother or sister because they didn't know their name. Folks, it's all about building relationships. It's about pouring ourselves into other people and watching what God does in people's lives. That's one of the most exciting things to me, is being able to just pour myself into somebody's life and just watching their lives change by the power of God. I mean, that's one of the most incredible things. I remember out there, the pastor's daughter and son-in-law, for 12 years, they had gotten out of church. And they just went to the bottom of the barrel. They became alcoholics, messed up, and just, we'd see them ever so often. And boy, I'm telling you what, they'd come up to the car and had a can of beer or, you know, some Jack Daniels or something like that. Hi, you know, and we said, hey, Tim, hey, Lisa, how you doing? I'm feeling pretty good, you know. And, you know, we just love them. Never judge them. Just love them, you know. And that, I'll never forget that, baby. All the times we'd see them, man, they smashed at weddings. I'd see them so smashed out of their head, they didn't even know where they was at. And we just love them. Praise God, just love them. 12 years, they didn't want nothing to do with church, didn't want nothing to do with God. Gotten out of church, don't ever want to be a church again, never want to be around church people. And we just loved them. Hallelujah. A little over 2.5 years ago, both of them came back to church, gave their life to Christ. Hallelujah. And just a couple of months ago, they flew out here, and Angie and I took them to Brother Jensen Franklin's church up there, and we're telling you about that, where we introduced them to the youth pastors up there, and they just made them feel so welcome, loved on them and everything, and just gave them a new vision, new direction, and just a spirit of humility upon these people that was so awesome for Angie and I to see. No arrogance, no full of themselves or anything like that. And praise God, last Sunday, they brought Tim and Lisa forward at the church that we work at, and they were now named as new youth pastors of Liberty Christian Center. Praise God. And I mean, man, that's God. I just bawl like a baby when I think about that. That 2.5 years ago, they were all messed up and alcoholics and everything else, and now they're the leaders of the youth group of their church. Praise God. Oh, I'm telling you what, it's about pouring ourselves out into other people, folks. And recognizing how good God is. I mean, when I read Romans 5:5, it says, such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Remember when Paul came to the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4 chapter verse 6, he said, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. I've emptied myself of me. Nothing's left but Jesus. Praise God. Man, folks, that's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. It's just being available to God and not having a mind set like concrete. You know, that I'm not going to move. And I'm open to whatever God wants to do. I mean that. I'm open to whatever God wants to do. If it's God, I want to be a part of it. Amen. I really mean that. I read in Luke, the first chapter, there was the story of, and we're coming into Christmas, and you know the story of Elizabeth and Zacharias, and the angel Gabriel told Elizabeth she's going to have a son. You're going to name his name John. And Zacharias, I looked up the word Zacharias, and the word Zacharias means he that remembers or looks back. The word Zacharias means he that remembers or looks back. Now watch this. Notice that last verse that Jesus said, no man having drank old wine straightway desireth new, for he says the old is better. Watch this. Old wine looks back. Think about that. Old wine looks back. I just read where there, it was on the internet, where some bottle of wine, like 1928, 35, something like that, just sold for like $20,000. Man, sell that sucker. Get the 20 grand and run. An old bottle of wine. But you know what? I looked at that and it said it was around $20,000 something. And I forgot what the year was, but it was many years ago. And it goes right along with that old wine looks back. And watch this. Why do you desire old? Why does a man desire the old wine instead of the new wine? Because the old wine is smooth. I'm used to it. It's delicate. It doesn't move. It's not explosive. It's just smooth. Everything's fine. We come and have a nice church service. And everything is beautiful. Everything is wonderful. We ask God to send us some clean sinners to our church. We don't want dirty sinners. We want clean sinners. Because dirty sinners come in and throw up. They'll mess up our church. And we spend a lot of money cleaning it up. What do you think this is, a hospital? We're a church. So I'm going a little crazy, aren't I? But you see, that's the old wine. And we look back and it's smooth and it's delicate and it's not explosive. There's no movement to it. It's just... But let me tell you something. God is an explosive God. He's a moving God. Hallelujah. And watch this. Zacharias means he that remembers or looks back. So Zacharias, his wife is pregnant with John. Show you what in a minute what John means. Zacharias is pregnant. He's married to Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John. He starts to talk about this, and God silences him because he was getting ready to spit out some things that he shouldn't have spit out. So what did God do? God silenced Zacharias, which means he that remembers or looks back. Watch this. God will silence your past so it does not contaminate your present and cancel your future. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now watch this. When was Zacharias' mouth opened is when the relative said, we'll call his name Zacharias Jr. And Zacharias, who couldn't speak because remember he's been silenced. After those period of months of having his mouth shut, he recognizes what God is and who God is. And so he gets a tablet and writes down and says, his name will be called John. And when he did that, poof, God opened his mouth. And you know what the Bible says? He began to prophesy. Hallelujah. Because God will silence your past so it does not contaminate your present and therefore cancel your future. Hallelujah. And he said, his name shall be called John. Now watch this. See, God all in this, folks. The name John means a voice. One of the names of John means a voice. Remember when they asked John, are you the Messiah? He said, no, my name is John. I am a voice crying in the wilderness. Remember that? Hallelujah. Watch this. Another name for John is thunder. So if anybody here is named John, one of the biblical names of John is thunder. Remember James and John, the sons of thunder? Hallelujah. Now watch this. They said, are you the Messiah? He said, no, I'm a voice. Hallelujah. Watch this now. He said, I am a voice. I'm not an echo. And today we've got more echoes than we got voices. Hallelujah. You see, an echo is just a repeat sound of a secondary voice. But a voice is one that hears from God and therefore declares the word of the living God. He's not an echo. He's not trying to be like everybody else. He's not trying to sound like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. I don't sound like everybody else. Praise God. God is raising up some voices today that will declare the word of God in an uncompromising fashion. Hallelujah. And not ashamed or embarrassed to do it. Praise God. Now watch this. Thunder. He's also thunder. What happened? What does that mean? Thunder precedes the rain. When you hear thunder, you know rain's coming. Rain's coming. Hallelujah. When the thunder sounds, refreshing is coming. And John said, I'm just thunder. But the one who refreshes is coming after me. And I'm not even worthy to unloose his sandals because he's the refresher. I'm just a voice. I'm just the thunder. Hallelujah. But the one that can refresh is coming after me. Hallelujah. I want you to understand right now. Praise God. There, and I told you this morning, I say it again tonight. There is a refreshing coming to the United States of America. Hallelujah. The rain is coming. And I'm talking about the rain of His Spirit. The rain of His presence. The rain of His anointing. The rain of the glory of God is going to come upon the United States of America again. And I believe with all of my heart, it's going to sweep across the world. Praise God. I believe the refreshing is coming in Jesus' name. New wine is being poured out. And listen, God will use different methods. And we can't put God in a box and say, this is the only way you can do it. God says, I'm God. I'll do what I want to do. I'll do a new thing because I'm tired of doing the old thing. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that in the book of Genesis, the very first chapter, the Bible says six different times, the first day, the evening and the morning, the second day, the evening and the morning, third day, evening and the morning, four, five, six day and the evening and the morning. Isn't that amazing that God set this whole thing up? Every new day starts out with dark times. Every new day starts out with an evening. But where there's an evening, got to be a morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you in Jesus' name, I bring this good word to you folks. Listen to me. Hallelujah. There's dark times here in America right now. Darkest I've ever seen in my life spiritually. But I'm telling you, morning's coming, Brother Kenny. Morning is coming. There is a refreshing coming. The rain is coming. There is a new day that is upon us. God is getting ready to pour out some new wines. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to be an old wineskin. Unflexible, unmoving. New sir. Praise God. I'm going to embrace the new wine. I'm going to wear jeans. Hallelujah. And tennis shoes. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to be comfortable in this move of God. Hallelujah. Listen, God is doing some incredible things, folks. Amen. This is God doing some new things. And this is one of the darkest times in the period in the history of our country. But I'm telling you, where there's an evening, there's got to be a morning. Hallelujah. New wine's being poured out. Praise God. I just want to embrace it. Do you? I just want to embrace it. You know, whatever is of God and it's good, I will embrace. Amen. I will embrace the move of His Spirit, the move of His presence, the glory of God. Man, I tell you what, there's some new songs being sung. There's a song they sung tonight I've never heard. You know, Angie and I listened, trying to stay in tune with all the new songs coming out, but that was a new song tonight I had never heard. I like that. I like that. I like new songs. Praise God. Don't you? Amen. I know y'all are a little strange here. Y'all sing off the wall, but it's pretty good, though. I really like that. You're one of these off-the-wall churches, but I mean, I like you. Praise God. God's up to something good, folks. It's a new day. Amen. I'm open to whatever He wants to do. I'm open to whatever He wants to. Angie and I, that's the way we're going to live our life. It's the way I'm going to finish this thing out. I'm going to do whatever He wants me to do, go where He tells me to go, say what He wants me to say. Praise God. And just be open to God. I'm not going to be an old, unflexible wineskin. Praise God. Now, you know what? And I'll close with this. How many times have I closed? Normally I close three times. But I think it's two. I got one more closing. You know, the old wineskin. Do you know that Jesus said, talking about that the new wine will burst the wineskin. Now, he's not willing that the wineskin be bursted. And do you know this guy in Napa Valley finished telling the story of wineskins and all that? He said, I said, well, what about the old wineskins? He said, well, what they would do in Bible days, he said they would take oil and pour it all over the wineskin and rub it into the wineskin. And thereby, the unflexibility of the wineskin now becomes flexible because of the oil. Hallelujah. God has given us the oil of joy for mourning. Praise God. And I mean the oil of His Spirit. And that's what transforms all of us, folks, is just the power and the presence of His Spirit. And that's why David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I don't want to become stale and stagnant. I want to be anointed with fresh oil. Praise God. I want to embrace the new wine that God's pouring out today. I want to embrace what He's doing. And I want to be a part of this last day move of God. I don't know about you, but I believe we're living in the last days. But I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back for a victorious church. I can't see Him coming back for some sick, weak, defeated, depressed bunch of people. I can't see that. That's not the way I read the Word of God. I read the Word of God that we're going to go out in victory. We're going to go out with a shout. Amen. It was born in a revival. I believe it'll leave in a revival. Don't you? Amen. I really believe that. I believe that there's a great harvest coming our way, folks. I want to see this house, Pastor Terry, filled with people. I want to see you have to go to multiple services on Sunday. Why? Because of the people. Because more people in here, the more people you win to Christ. And it's about the harvest. Not about us anymore. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. It's about those people out there that don't know Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all about them and saving as many as we possibly can and being a part of touching somebody's life for the kingdom of God. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise God. Thank you for being here, coming out here on a Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. And I really appreciate you coming out. I really mean that. That tells me you're hungry for the God. You're hungry for His Word. And I just want to say thank you from my heart. Praise God. Father, I just thank you tonight for your Word. Lord, I'm so grateful to you for this church, for this house. Lord, for what this house has been built for, constructed for. Lord, to house the harvest of souls. And Lord, I just thank you in Jesus' name that, Lord, you are wanting to do some new things today. You're wanting to pour out new wine. And Lord, I want to be a part of it. Lord, I want to be a part of this move of God. Lord, I want to be a part of what you're doing in these last days. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would touch every man, woman, young person here. And Lord, touch them with the power of your Spirit, the power of your presence. Let your love flow through them right now, Lord Jesus. Touch them. Lord, anoint us all with fresh oil. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name that our vision would be refined. And Lord, that we would be refired, Lord, and have a fresh vision, Lord, to where we can see it's not about us anymore. It's about the lost. It's about winning people to Jesus and pouring ourselves into people's lives and having a relational impact upon men and women and young people, Lord. That when people look at us, they see something that says, I want what you got. I may not understand it all, but I want what you got. And Lord, may we become so full of you and so full of your presence and so full of the joy of the Lord, Father, that we can make an impact on people that's around about us. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that the Spirit of God would flow and touch this house again in a fresh way. I pray for a revival to hit this church in Jesus' name that will explode all over Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Lord, send in the lost from the north, south, east, and west. Send them in. send in young people by the hundreds, Lord, that will come to Jesus Christ and become fired up. Send in the elderly, Lord. Send in the middle age. Father, Lord, we pray for prodigal sons and prodigal daughters to come back to Father's house. And Lord, we just thank you in Jesus' name that you are God. And we give you all the glory because it's not about us. It's not about us taking any glory, any credit for ourselves. It's all about you. And Father, we give you honor and we give you glory tonight. And we lift up the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, that you are God. You are awesome. And we love you with every ounce of our being. And we declare you blessed tonight, Lord, that you are a blessed God. And we thank you for blessing your people. Thank you. For the greater days of this church lies in front of them, not behind them. And Lord, we declare that the best is yet to come. In the name of Jesus, we declare today, we prophesy it, that the best is yet to come in the name of Jesus. We give you honor and we give you glory, Father. And we thank you in Jesus' name that you are Almighty God and we give you praise and magnify your name tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor Terry, whatever, praise God. God bless you. We love you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.